The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine, North Carolina History for Students. Today I'll be reading from the Fall 2022 issue, Volume 62, Number 1, History Rocks, Music in North Carolina. The first article will be Music to Live by Zoe Van Buren. Zoe is the director of the Folklife Program at the North Carolina Arts Council, where she manages programs that support traditional arts across North Carolina. She received her M.A. in Folklore from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and previously worked with the Music Maker Relief Foundation. She is the co-author of the book Hanging Tree Guitars with luthier and sculptor Freeman Vines and photographer Timothy Duffy. Have you ever noticed how music can change the way you experience something? What would a party be without music? Could you focus on homework without your favorite playlist in the background? Would you be bored on long car rides without headphones? Before there was the technology to hear music anywhere and anytime, before music could even be recorded at all, people wanted to hear the sound of music in their everyday lives, for many of the same reasons we like music today. But humans don't just enjoy music, we use it. Scientists even think humans may have been communicating through music for longer than we have been speaking in full sentences. Our ability to recognize and make music helped early humans create the knowledge and relationships that we needed to live together in societies. Just as we use tools to build our physical world, we use music to build our social world. When we think about hearing music today, we might imagine a performer on a stage entertaining an audience. North Carolina is home to many famous musicians who have influenced popular culture in every genre, from bluegrass to rock and roll. But music is a really big part of North Carolina's folk life, too. Folk life being the artistic culture of our communities and families, from the way we play to the way we work. Our folk life comes from our creativity in everyday life. Our music has many kinds of cultural uses. Our state is full of stories of people who make and share music, not to become famous, but because it is such an important and natural part of who they are and how they live. Let's look at some of those musical traditions throughout our state. Music is an important part of family life in eastern North Carolina, where some of our state's most influential gospel, funk, hip-hop, jazz, and R&B artists were born. Robert Dick Knight, born in 1943, is a trumpet player in Kinston in Lenoir County who played with singer James Brown's band and received the North Carolina Heritage Award in 2018. He remembers that in the 1960s, Kinston had so many nightclubs it was almost like a little New York. Although those clubs are mostly gone now, you will still find incredible musical talent in churches and homes across the region. Nearby in Goldsboro in Wayne County, Alondo Mitchell, born in 1972, a band leader and founder of a Drummer's World drumline, remembers the music at his family reunions growing up. The most awesome thing that I loved about our family reunion was this big, long porch that we had, filled with guitars, drums, people singing. And they would play for hours. I'm talking about 8 and 9 hours. They would just play, and everybody would just eat and just dance and take turns coming up singing songs. Many important North Carolina music traditions come out of family life. If your family makes music together, you are part of this story too. When the English song collector Cecil Sharp, born in 1859 and died in 1924, visited Madison County in 1916, He wrote that he had been to places in the Blue Ridge Mountains where singing is as common and almost as universal a practice as speaking. Sheila K. Adams, born in 1953, is a ballad singer who received the National Heritage Award from the National Endowment for the Arts in 2016. She grew up in a Madison County family that still sang songs their ancestors brought over from the British Isles in the 1700s. They sang ballads to each other, or love songs, as Sheila grew up hearing them called. These ballads often had so many verses it could take 10 to 15 minutes to sing one song. Why would so many generations bother to remember and sing so many long songs? Sheila thinks it's because the songs tell stories that were important to them and helped them understand their world. Some of them are 700 or 800 years old, Sheila says. For that long, there's got to be some kind of importance to them if they were the ones that were kept in the tradition. Singing and sharing ballads help people stay connected and help them remember their family history. For Sheila, learning these songs also helped her spend time with her loved ones. There was a certain sense of responsibility toward one another, she remembers. I think that culture has pretty much died out, but I think there are people who are starting to understand how that kind of lifestyle could be an important part of their world. Because music helps us make connections to one another, it also can help us when we need to work together. In the late 1800s and into much of the 1900s, around the coastal town of Beaufort in Carteret County, many African-American men worked in the fishing industry, doing the back-breaking work of catching a fish called a menhaden, or shad. These men had to pull thousands of pounds of fish into their boats by hand. Imagine how heavy that must have been. The only way to pull that much weight was for the men to work together and pull at the exact same time. The fishermen started singing songs called chanties to help keep them in rhythm. The chanties were already inspired by music they already knew and liked, like gospel, blues, and barbershop quartet songs. Singing gave you more spirit and more power to pull, raise your fish better. If you didn't sing, you wouldn't get them, remembered Ernest Davis, a former fisherman. Ernest and a group of other retired fishermen got together and formed a singing group called the Menhaden Chantymen. They sang their work songs everywhere from Beaufort to world-famous Carnegie Hall in New York City. Although the Menhaden industry collapsed and fishermen no longer pull catch by hand, this music helps us remember how people used to make a living on the sea. Music has the ability to help people come together to achieve an important job. In the mountains of western North Carolina, the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians play their version of the game of stickball or anetso in Cherokee. You might recognize it as the original form of lacrosse, but anetso is more than just a game. It is also known as the little brother of war, because it once served as an alternative to war to settle judicial and diplomatic issues. It is such an important cultural practice that it has its own ceremonies, which must be performed the night before a game to prepare the team to play. Songs and dances involving men and women alike are part of these essential ceremonies. There are several dances led by men and one led by women, but women are an important part of all the dances done before a match. Today, anetso and all the cultural practices around it remain a highly respected tradition that is passed from generation to generation. North Carolinians also have used songs to tell stories that encourage one another to take action and work in politics. Take Ella Mae Wiggins, born in 1900, died in 1929, for example, who worked in the textile mills of Gastonia in Gaston County in the 1920s. Textiles were a major industry in North Carolina at the time, but workers were often treated badly and paid very little. Ella May grew up in the Smoky Mountains singing mountain ballads like the ones sung by Sheila K. Adams' family. So when she needed to organize her fellow workers to form a union and fight for better working conditions, she would often give a speech and then sing an old ballad with new lyrics that told her story. Her best-known song, Mill Mother's Lament, tells about her struggle to support her family and encourages the listeners to form a union in order to stand up to their bosses and demand better pay. She wrote about the events of labor strikes in the lyrics of her ballads as a way of documenting what was happening and sharing information with other strikers. The folklorist Margaret Larkin, wrote that when Ella May sang, it was better than 100 speeches. Sadly, Ella May was killed during the Luray Mills strike in 1929, but well-known folk singers like Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger continued to sing her songs. The family ballads that Ella May grew up singing helped the entire nation remember the story of how people fought against unfair working conditions in North Carolina mills. Across North Carolina, people are still making music to help accompany the experience of life. Today, a group of volunteers called the Threshold Singers of the Triangle travels to hospitals and homes to sing for people as they cross from life to death, using the beauty of the human voice and the memory of old songs to bring comfort at the end of life. One Threshold Singer named Debbie explains that singing for the dying is a way of communicating with people at the end of their life, even if they can no longer speak. This is not a performance. This is an offering, she says. Maybe they want to sing along, but maybe they just receive the music and let it wash over them and just feel how it can hold and support them. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Threshold Singers used video conferencing technology to continue to be with people near the end of life. All over the world, churches, choirs, families, and neighbors used the internet to make music with each other when it was not safe to sing in person. Even if the sound quality was bad or if only one person could sing at a time, people still tried their best to come together and make music, knowing what it could do to help keep connected, lift spirits, and encourage through hard times. Social music helps us understand how everyday North Carolinians lived in the past, but it can also be an important part of your life today. Notice when people in your life sing or play instruments. Do you hear humming or whistling as your family tackles household chores? If there are little children in your family, do grown-ups sing to them to soothe their crying or teach them something new like their ABCs? Perhaps there is a version of the happy birthday song your family prefers, or a holiday when you sing while lighting candles on a long, dark night. How do these moments feel? How would they be different without the sound of music? Making music together still matters. Whether we are celebrating, working, fighting for a cause, or supporting each other through challenging times, North Carolinians still live by music. Here are captions from the photographs that accompany this article. Sheila K. Adams grew up in Madison County, learning music from family members like her great-aunt Delly Chandler Norton, a ballad singer. Many of the songs had been brought over from the British Isles by their ancestors in the 1700s. Sheila kept learning and playing and grew up to become an award-winning ballad singer herself. Today she's an author, storyteller, and musician performing ballads from English, Scottish, and Irish traditions. Intersections is a sculpture created by David Wilson and Brandon Yao to pay tribute to Kinston's African-American musical community. The sculpture is 23 feet high and 23 feet wide, and made of glass panels that reflect historic photographs, old maps, and original artwork. Alando Mitchell, teaching drumming at a Juneteenth event in Smithfield in Johnson County in 2021. In 2016, junior historian Macy Stevens entered her project about the Menhaden fishermen in the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association Exhibit and Visual Arts Contest, and she won first place in the elementary division. Menhaden Fisherman on the W.A. Mace, pulling in the catch off the coast of Beaufort. No date, circa 1935 to 1940. Ella Mae Wiggins grew up in North Carolina singing mountain ballads. Later, as a mother and mill worker, she sang those old ballads with new lyrics to protest the mistreatment of workers at the Luray Mill in Gaston County. Sadly, her voice was never recorded. The next article is, What's That Sound? How do you describe your favorite music to someone who's never heard it before? It's not easy. North Carolina jazz legend Thelonious Monk once said, I don't have a definition of jazz. You're just supposed to know it when you hear it. The first style is beach music. Fans know it when they hear it. But what defines beach music? A set of sounds? A time or a place? And do you need sand? The big question is, can you shag to it? The shag is our state popular dance. Yes, the Beach Boys sang about the surfing scene in California beaches in the early 1960s, but that's not what we mean. In the Carolinas, beach music was a carefree summer sound that caught on along the Carolina coast. In the early days, beaches like most of America were segregated, separated by race. Black musicians could perform their soul and R&B music for white audiences at clubs. Then they weren't allowed to eat at whites-only restaurants or stay at white hotels. But white teenagers and college students heard black music while on vacation and felt worlds open up. Radio stations carried the music far beyond the beach to fans who listened on new technology, portable transistor radios, and things began to change. In the 1970s, some musicians began billing themselves as beach music bands. They performed on a circuit that spread from the coast to college campuses and clubs across the southeast. They even wrote songs about the beach music scene. Carolina Girls, written in 1973, recorded in 1980. Summertime's Calling Me, 1975. And I Love Beach Music, 1979. Today, people who liked beach music then are still dancing to beach music now. There are annual festivals, concerts, shagging contests, even a junior shaggers league. There are a couple of quotes from Deborah McFadder. I know my father's music, Clyde McFadder. I know Drifter's music after he left the Drifters. I know Billy Ward and the Dominoes music during the time that my dad was singing with them. So when I hear that they're here in North Carolina, I know that that's beach music. And from Betty Kirtley, beach music is something in your soul. It goes in my ears and out my feet. Next, funk music. Have you ever heard the old expression to be in a funk? That means you've been feeling down or sad, but that's the opposite of what funk music feels like. Many of the world's favorite genres, such as gospel, jazz, and bluegrass, were nourished and flourished right here in the Tar Heel State. One new form of music called funk diverted Americans from the complex racial issues of the 1960s and brought them together to dance. The genre first emerged within American music during the mid to late 1960s. African American musical pioneers from eastern North Carolina helped to create funk when they joined up with singer James Brown in 1964. James Brown was already performing with the famous Flames, but 1963 was a pivotal civil rights year. The famous March on Washington occurred in August, and President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in November. These events prompted Brown to become more involved in the civil rights movement. In 1964, he hired Nathaniel L. Nat Jones, born 1939, died 2014, from Kinston in Lenoir County, as his band director and renamed his act the James Brown Band. Nat Jones was a 1960 cum laude graduate from the North Carolina College for Negroes, now NC Central University, and he was already known as a musical genius. Jones brought his songwriting skills, imaginative arrangements, and inspired musicianship to the band. His classically trained jazz influence and Brown's showmanship created a new sound called funk. It had a strong rhythmic groove of electric bass and drums, and it was perfect for dancing. In fact, it was hard not to dance when you heard it. The 1964 album Grits and Soul embodied the spirit of that year's Civil Rights Act. The album featured Jones's songwriting prowess and the skills of other college-educated musicians from Kinston, Dick Knight, Levi Raspberry, and Melvin and Maceo Parker. Jones directed the band and wrote many hits for Brown between 1964 and 1967. In 1965, at the heights of the Civil Rights Movement, he wrote a song called Hey America. In the song, he critiques the million peace signs all year long except during Christmas. James Brown would eventually record the song in 1970. Here are a couple quotes, one from Maceo Parker, a Kinston native who played with the James Brown band. Some music is like listening music. Other types of music may be more reverent. But our music makes you dance to the rhythm and bring the funk. The second quote is from Earl Imes, curator of African American history at the North Carolina Museum of History. Funk is rhythmic inspiration. There's a photograph with a caption, Museum curator Earl Imes and legendary funk musician Dick Knight show off a vintage copy of the album Grits and Soul. There's also a sidebar, think about it. One way that historians learn about a new subject is by asking people questions. Oral history is one kind of primary research. Try this. Pick a kind of music, hip-hop, country, jazz, rock, etc., and then ask friends or family, how do you define that music? What does that music mean to you? And write down their answers. And take photos. You can even create a poster to hang in your classroom or room at home. And now, a closer look at some of the musicians from North Carolina. First, Shirley Caesar, born in 1938 in Durham County. Shirley Caesar's career as a gospel singer spans more than 40 years. She sang professionally with the gospel group The Caravans before launching her solo career in 1966. Known as the First Lady of Gospel, Caesar serves as pastor of the Mount Calvary Word of Faith Church in Raleigh, in addition to performing. Her best-known songs include No Charge, Satan, We're Gonna Tear Your Kingdom Down, and Don't Drive Your Mama Away. She has won 11 Grammy Awards, 17 Dove Awards, and 12 Stellar Awards. In 2000, she was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Eric Church, born in 1977 in Caldwell County. Eric Church is a country rock musician from Granite Falls who is known for his high-energy concerts. He was named Entertainer of the Year at the 2020 Country Music Awards and has been nominated for 9 Grammys. Church grew up in the family furniture business, and his nickname Chief comes from the nickname of his grandfather, who was the Granite Falls Chief of Police. Church graduated from Appalachian State with a degree in marketing, but after graduation headed to Nashville instead. In 2013, he and his wife, Catherine, created the nonprofit Chief Cares Fund, which helps families in need in North Carolina, Tennessee, and beyond. George Clinton, born in 1941 in Cabarrus or Rowan counties. Legendary musician George Clinton has influenced countless musicians and genres ranging from hip-hop to rock. Clinton was born in Kannapolis, later raised in New Jersey, with roots in gospel and doo-wop. In the early 1970s, he and his bands Parliament and Funkadelic created an energetic party music, bringing humor and science fiction to the performances. Dressed in colorful costumes, Clinton would descend from a flashing spaceship called the Mothership to perform a new music called funk. His highly sampled music includes Atomic Dog, Give Up the Funk, and One Nation Under a Groove. In 2019, he and Parliament Funkadelic were honored with Grammy Lifetime Achievement Awards. Arianna DeBose, born in 1991 in New Hanover County. Wilmington's Arianna DeBose is an award-winning singer, dancer, and actress. Fans have seen her on TV in So You Think You Can Dance, Schmigadoon, Westworld, and Saturday Night Live, and hosting the 2022 Tony Awards. On Broadway, she appeared in Bring It On, the musical, and was nominated for a Tony Award for Summer, the Donna Summer musical. DeBose also originated the role of the Bullet in Hamilton. In 2022, DeBose made history as the first openly queer woman of color to win an Oscar for acting for her supporting role as Anita in Steven Spielberg's movie version of the Broadway musical West Side Story. In May 2022, Time magazine named her one of the 100 most influential people in the world. Luke Combs, born in 1990 in Mecklenburg County. Country music singer and songwriter Luke Combs was born in Charlotte but moved to Asheville at age 8. While attending A.C. Reynolds High School, Combs played football and sang with several groups and even performed a solo at Carnegie Hall. But he never picked up a guitar until he attended App State and started playing at local clubs in Boone. In 2017, his debut single, Hurricane, from his first album, This One's For You, hit number one. Combs' music has earned many awards, including the Country Music Association's 2021 Entertainer of the Year. In 2022, he released 6 Feet Apart, about life during the COVID-19 epidemic. The Embers, formed in 1958 in Wake County. The Embers have been synonymous with beach music for nearly 5 decades. Drummer Bobby Tomlinson and guitarist Jackie Gore formed the band while attending Broughton High School in Raleigh. In the 1960s, the Embers performed as the opening act for the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones when they stopped in North Carolina. The band opened 2 nightclubs in the 1960s. The Embers' signature song, I Love Beach Music, was released in 1979. Longtime members have included bassist Gerald Davis, trumpet player Johnny Hopkins, and saxophonist lead singer Craig Woolard, among others. Previewing an article on making instruments that I'll read next time, what is a dulcimer? The Appalachian or mountain dulcimer is a narrow folk zither with 3 to 5 metal strings running over a fretted fingerboard along the dulcimer's entire length. It was brought to North Carolina by the Scots-Irish as they moved south along the Great Wagon Road. Today, musicians often lay the dulcimer flat on their laps and then pluck or strum the strings. We've run out of time for today's episode of North Carolina History. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.